Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
Welcome on this Labor Day weekend. I know we got some people out of town and whatnot, but it's so good to have you here with us. I'm so glad you got up this morning and decided to come into God's house. Can we just celebrate that? Woo! And I've got even better news. Pastor Karen's going to be back next week. Come on now. Woo! Let me tell you what, she has been missing y'all so much, and she is so excited to get back. And she's coming back with a bang. She's actually going to be preaching next Sunday. Are y'all ready for that? Woo! It's going to be good. All right. Will you all just join me in prayer right now, please? Heavenly Father, God, we come before you right now. God, we are just so grateful and so thankful for what you've already done in this place today. Holy Spirit, thank you for being here before we ever walked in the door. And thank you that we are getting to participate in what you're doing in this place today. God, right now, I surrender my mind, my will, my words, my vocabulary. God, I surrender it all to you. Heavenly Father, will you have your way right now in this place? I pray that you are preparing our hearts even now to experience the power of your word. And as we experience it, God, may we take it deep into our spirit. God, you said you desire to write your words on our hearts. And that's what I'm praying for. That's what we're praying for right now, that Father, your words would be written on our hearts today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. Y'all ready? Man. Now, I don't know when it was. I think it was a couple weeks ago. But Pastor Karen asked me a question. She said, what are you thinking about right now? Anybody married or you just got friends? They just see that look on your face. Say, what are you thinking about right now? And I think I first, kind of brushed it off. Oh, I'm not really thinking about anything. She goes, no. I've seen that look on your face before. You're thinking about something. And I think I ended up saying something like, or I was thinking that time about, how are we going to get these, houses rented out that we got on the market right now. I mean, it was something like that. But my point is that she knew me well enough to know that I was thinking about something. You see, because for years, she's observed me, right? She's paid attention when I have something on my mind. Now, on the other hand, there are some things that she does not need to even ask me about. Because she already knows exactly what my thinking is on it. Because we've spent time in those areas. We've talked about it. We've had dialogue. We've had communication. There is definitely some topics that we've discussed at length that she knows exactly how I think in that area and why I think the way I think. And it's the same with me and her. There's certain things, certain topics that I know I can pretty much tell you exactly how she thinks about it because we've talked about it a lot. We've had dialogue. We've spent a lot of time together. Maybe you've got some people like that in your life, right? Maybe it's a close friend, a spouse. You've spent all this time together. And because of that, there are definitely some areas, some topics that you pretty much know how they're going to think about it. In fact, there are certain people, I guarantee, that if someone said to you, what do you think so-and-so would think about blank, you would know exactly what to say. Right? There are certain people in your life that if they said, what does so-and-so think about X, you would know exactly what they're thinking, right? I want to talk today about your thinking. Can we talk about your thinking today? Can we talk about my thinking today? You see, what you think and how you think will in many ways determine the course of your life. I hope you believe that because it's true. How you think, what you think will in many ways determine the course of your life. What you think about and how you think will guide what you believe. What you think and how you think will influence what you do. I guarantee you there is nothing you have ever done that you have not thought about first. Now, you know, so we've all said the same. Oh, I wasn't thinking when I said that. Yes, you were. You just didn't think long enough or right enough. You still thought about it. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you wish you had thought longer about it or thought differently, but you did think about it before you said it. Trust me. Okay? There's nothing that you've ever done that you haven't thought about first. The other thing that the way we think influences not only what we do, but it also can influence the posture of our heart. The way you think can influence the posture of your heart. And in Proverbs 4:23, it says that we should guard our hearts. Because out of our hearts, it says, flow all of the things in your life. Out of your heart is going to flow the things of your life. So a big part of guarding your heart must therefore begin with guarding your thoughts. Right? Part of guarding your heart is guarding what you think about. How you think. Why you think what you do. Because those things are going to shape your heart, your attitudes, and how you approach things. That's the spring that's going to come out of your life. I want to talk about our thinking today. When you look at the Bible, there is a consistent theme when it comes to our thinking that has to do with learning how to think through things from a spiritual perspective. It's in multiple places in the Bible. A spiritual perspective takes into account what God says about something and how that should influence our thinking. A spiritual point of view or mindset is about trying to understand how Jesus thinks about something and how that should then guide our thinking. And to think about things with a spiritual lens is to consider not just the present circumstances, but the bigger picture. What's going on behind the scenes more than just what you see? That's what having spiritual eyes looks like. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. And be in chapter 2, Corinthians right after Romans in your New Testament. 1 Corinthians, we're going to be in chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are what? Spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have, say this with me, the mind of Christ. Say this with me. I have the mind of Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, what the Apostle Paul is telling us here is that, first off, if you want to think in spiritual ways, you are going to have the Holy Spirit leading you and guiding you to do it. In fact, before Jesus left, he promised to leave us with this helper, the Holy Spirit. It's in John chapter 14. And what he said was, this Holy Spirit is going to show you and allow you to live the spiritual life, which part of spiritual life is spiritual thinking, and that without him, you can't do it. But with him, Jesus said, you can actually learn how to think spiritually. You can actually learn how to live a spiritual life. But without him, you can't. Straight up. Paul's saying you cannot understand spiritual things apart from the Holy Spirit. You can't just tweak your worldly thinking and try to apply it when it comes to understanding the things of God. In fact, most of our worldly thinking is actually in direct opposition to the way that God calls us to think. Remember, Jesus was countercultural, not just in what he did, but in how he thought and how he's teaching us to think. It's the world, and we're going to get to it in a minute, the world thinks certain things, and Jesus says, no, this is the way to think, right? That's why the world describes spiritual thinking as folly. Because without the Holy Spirit, you can't get it. In other words, to think with a spiritual mind is completely a foreign concept if you don't have the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you through it. literally, how many, y'all know this. If you have people in your life, and we encounter them all the time. I encounter them all the time. I'm sure you do too. Without the Holy Spirit, you start talking about the things of God and they literally just have this blank look. It's like they don't have any concept about what you are talking about. And it's, to be honest, it's actually not their fault, because until they get the Holy Spirit, they're not going to get it. No, you need to be okay with that. See, we want to hold people accountable for things that they really don't even know yet. Right? So we're sitting there wondering, well, how come they're doing this and how come they're doing that? Well, they don't, without Jesus in their life, without the Holy Spirit, they don't know. And they're not going to know. Do you see why it's so important that people come to know Jesus? That's why it's so important. Because until they get Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they can't know. So, I'm not saying we have to condone what people are doing or whatever, or agree with it, but you need to have a little perspective and understanding. Part of spiritual thinking is knowing what is really going on behind the scenes. They don't actually know what's happening. I think it's safe to say this: if you want to be a follower of Jesus, then not only must you learn how to do what he did, but you must learn how to think like he thinks. That's what it means to have the mind of Christ. Not just do what he did. You have to get into what he thinks. Y'all remember those bracelets and other merch many years ago that had just four letters on them, right? WWJD. What would Jesus do? Well, I want to introduce some new merch today. I want to roll out two brand new wristbands. In fact, I think we might just start doing this and start selling it. You know, let's raise some money for the church. I want to introduce some new merch today. Two new wristbands. The first one's going to say this: WWJT. What would Jesus think? That's going to go on one wrist. The other wrist, HDJT. How does Jesus think? Can you imagine having those on your wrist? You see, because let me explain something to you. Jesus is just like you and I. He never did anything that he didn't think about first. Remember in Hebrews, it says, we don't have a high priest, Jesus, who is unfamiliar with everything about who you are. And it says in the word that he experienced everything that you and I experienced, and then some. Jesus had to think spiritually. There's nothing he ever did he didn't think about first. Now, truth of the matter is, Jesus always thought about things from a spiritual perspective. Well, let's face it, because he's Jesus, yeah. Right? He's the only perfect person to ever walk on the earth. He was both God and man. Of course, he would think from a spiritual perspective. That makes sense. But it also makes sense. In John chapter 4, Jesus tells the woman that God is spirit. We also know from the word that we are created in God's image. So if God is spirit, what does that make you? Spirit. We are spirit beings. We are created in the image of God. So it makes sense that we also need to learn how to think spiritually. Right? You see, Jesus was at your spiritual creation. I don't know if you remember that, because you don't. I don't know if you know that. That's what I meant to say. You don't remember it, trust me. Because it's a reminder that you are a spirit who has a soul that lives in a body. You are not this finger, this hand. That's not who you are. You are a spirit who has a soul that lives in a body. So if we worship a God of spirit, we must learn to think spiritually. We must. That's what the Apostle Paul was trying to tell us. Guys, if you want to get this, you're going to have the Holy Spirit. And you're going to have to think spiritually. Listen, Jesus did in fact come to the earth to die a physical death for your sins. But his mission, make no mistake, was about the salvation and the rebirth of your spirit. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. No, you got to be born again. He wasn't talking about the physical. He's talking about the spiritual. right? Jesus came to save your spirit because your body's going to go away someday. You're going to get a new one. He wasn't come to save your body. He's come to save your spirit, who you are. Now, listen, before we get into a little bit about how to think more spiritually, it's important that we remember this, that there are certain parts of God's thinking, and even Jesus when he was here, the way they thought, that you ain't never going to understand. And you better get that right now. That's why it says in Isaiah, God's word or God's ways are higher, when he's saying his thinking is higher than yours. His thinking is higher than mine. So there are some things we really won't be able to understand in this realm. On those things, you got to trust. You just got to, God, I trust you. I may not understand everything. And after all, the Apostle Paul said, who are we to instruct God? That's what he was talking about. There's just some things that you're not going to get, and it's okay. But I do want to talk about, for the rest of our time, how you can learn to think more spiritually, how you and I can learn to have more of the mind of Christ. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can learn how to think more like Jesus. And as we learn to think more like him, then we're going to be able to act more like him. It makes sense. If we can get inside the mind of Jesus a bit, have his mind, and Paul says we can, we have the mind of Christ. As we think how Jesus begins to think, we are then more able to do what Jesus calls us to do. Does that make sense? Yeah. I want to bring to you today two keys. These are some good notes today. If y'all ain't taking notes, I might be writing some of these down, because these are really, really good, because they're from God. They ain't from me. I'm just speaking it to you, and it's scripturally based. The first key is this. Spiritual thinking is influenced by what you look at and what you listen to. Let me say that again. Your spiritual thinking will be influenced by what you look at and what you listen to. One of the things that Jesus did to maintain his spiritual thinking was to take great care about what he looked at and what and who he listened to. Look at what it says in John chapter 5, verse 19. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, by the way, when you ever see the words truly, truly in scripture and Jesus is talking, pay attention. Pay attention to it all. But when he says those words, truly, truly, that means something important is coming. Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he what? Sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. You see, Jesus paid close attention to what his Father did. He spent a time observing what he did. And it says in numerous places in Scripture that Jesus prayed often. And in those prayers, he was listening for the voice of his Father, for guidance, for direction. So Jesus kept his eyes focused on God, kept his ears focused on God. He was careful about what he saw, what he looked at, and what he listened to. For you and I to grow in our spiritual thinking, a great place to start is examining, what are you looking at and what are you listening to? What gets more of your time? Reading God's word so you can learn to see God and see who Jesus is, or Facebook? What gets more of your listening ear? The news of the day? Maybe the latest true crimes podcast, or maybe the latest podcast about the next conspiracy theory? What has your ear? Or maybe worship music that gets into your heart and soul and draws you closer to God. Or maybe listening to a podcast about God's word. What has your attention? What has your attention? What are your eyes seeing? What are your ears hearing? What gets more of your time? What you are looking at and what you are listening to, my friends, I guarantee will greatly impact how you think. What you see, what you listen to, what you hear will greatly impact the way that you think. And how you think will directly impact in many ways what you do. Listen closely. If the only time you are thinking about the things of God and spiritual things is on Sunday morning, you will never be able to develop a spiritual mindset. I'll say that clearly. Here's why. We become what we consistently think, and then ultimately what we consistently do. Now, who you are in Christ, you know, that's the think part. You have to know who you are in Christ, right? That's you thinking on that. That's you believing that. You see, that's going to influence everything else in your life. You will become consistent. What you consistently think about, and what you consistently think about will impact what you consistently do. It's true of your spiritual life. It's true of almost any part of your life, actually. At work, I could take that concept and that truth and apply it to just about any part of your life. What you think about is ultimately going to impact what you do. If you want to develop a spiritual mindset, we need to think. First of all, we need to rely and ask the Holy Spirit to show us how, right? And help us. But we also need to be putting spiritual things in front of our eyes and into our ears. Let me give you a few of those spiritual things that will help. One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture, Philippians chapter 4. Turn with me to verse 8. You want some things to think about? Check this out. Finally, brothers, whatever is true. And brothers means sisters too, by the way. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. If there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, what does it say? Think about these things. You want something to think about? Open up Philippians 4:8 the next time you're thinking, what am I thinking about right now? What could I think about? Well, let me pop open Philippians 4:8 for a minute, because it gives you some great things to start thinking about. And instead of that crazy podcast or that crazy conspiracy theory or whatever else is coming into your brain, right? You see, there's a principle in psychology that says we tend to move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. If you think about that for a minute, you'll see that's true. We tend to move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. So if I'm on a diet and I'm thinking about nothing but cookies, there's a good chance I'm going to go grab me some cookies. Come on. If I'm on a diet and I'm thinking, wow, I'm really going to appreciate how I'm going to look in 4 months by not eating all these cookies, and that's my motivating thinking, then there's a good chance I'll leave the cookies alone. You see where I'm going with this? So it applies in just the earthly physical realm, but it also definitely applies to spiritual things, right? Spiritual thinking is understanding that our strongest thoughts tend to move us in a certain direction. So to start with, Philippians 4:8 is a really good filter for your thinking. The next time a thought comes into your head, is that honorable? Is it commendable? Is it praiseworthy? Is it pure? Is it true? Is it excellent? And if it kind of makes it into that filter, pretty good chance you're moving towards spiritual thinking. If it doesn't fit that, time to examine, right? You see, Jesus maintained his spiritual thinking by keeping his eyes fixed on spiritual things and by keeping his ears tuned to the voice of God. That's how Jesus maintained his spiritual thinking. You and I can move closer in our spiritual thinking to Christ by thinking the way he does, by keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus and by allowing God's voice to speak to us through the Holy Spirit. Same process Jesus used is the same process we used. Jesus said, with the power of the Holy Spirit, not only are you going to be able to do things that I've done, he says you're going to be able to do greater things. Wow. If Jesus could maintain spiritual thinking, we can too, but only with the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't ever think you can do it by yourself. That's where we trip up. Well, I'm just going to apply my own worldly. No. That's not going to work. Paul already said, it's folly. That's not going to work. Got to understand the role of the Holy Spirit. What we listen to, what we think about, what we look at, these are all things that help us to keep our spiritual perspective. A process is found in 2 Corinthians where it says, the process is to do this. It says, when a thought comes in, it says take it captive. It kind of uses a military term, right? It says take that thought in, put it in solitary confinement for a minute, and interrogate it. So wait a minute, thought. What is this thought about? Where is it coming from? Is it true? Is it noble? Is it excellent? Is it praiseworthy? Is it reflecting Jesus and how he thinks? And if the answer is no, then that baby gets executed. That prisoner gets executed. The word says that we actually take that and bring it into submission to the truth of God. That's what we do with those thoughts. Now, if the thought fits the filter, okay, let me think more about that. How can I apply that? What does that mean to me? Right? That's the process that 2 Corinthians gives us for how to handle that. All right. Y'all ready for the other key? The first one is understand that what you look at and what you hear plays a big role in your spiritual thinking. The other key I want to give you is this. Your emotions. Everybody say, my emotions. Can inform your thinking, but truth should guide your thinking. Let me say that again. Your emotions can certainly inform your thinking, but truth should guide your thinking. Listen up. Your emotions are real. Your emotions are real. Mine are real. Your emotions have value. Emotions are like a flashing light that we need to pay attention to because it's a sign of something going on in our heart and our mind. That's what really emotions are. It's this little red flashing light says, wait a minute, something's going on in your heart. Something's going on in your mind. Something's going on in your thinking. And from that standpoint, they can be very valuable to inform us. Hey, warning. Pay attention to this emotion. Don't brush it off. Don't blow it off. No. Start to question what's happening here, right? That's the value of emotions. But one of the most dangerous things that we can do is to allow our emotions to dictate and control our thinking. That's a dangerous place. That's a dangerous place. You see, emotions, if you think about it, and if you view this in the world from a worldly perspective, emotions tend to rule a lot of people's actions. Right? If you don't have the Holy Spirit and you think it's folly, that's typically what happens is people's emotions then lead to what they do. Right? I mean, that's the worldly view of emotions. Just let her rip. Whatever happens, if I'm mad, you're going to get it. If I'm sad, you're going to get it. Whatever. Just let it out. Let it all out, baby. Well, you know, do y'all see? There might be a little problem with that. You see, I want you to understand this. Look, we already said in Hebrews that we have a high priest that understands. Jesus had emotions, y'all. Jesus had emotions. Jesus wept when Lazarus died. Jesus suffered agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. There's John chapter 12 that says Jesus' soul was greatly troubled when he realized it was time to sow his seed in the ground so that mankind could be saved. You see, Jesus experienced emotions, y'all, but the difference is he understood the role of his emotions. They were real. He didn't deny them. He didn't put them, but he also understood that truth was more important than the emotions. It was truth that guided everything in Jesus' life. That's why in John 8:32, Jesus said, what? The truth will set you free, not your emotions. In the story of the woman at the well that Jesus interacted with, he told the woman that day that the kind of worshipers, you got to get this, the kind of worshipers that God is looking for are those that will worship him in what? Spirit and truth. He didn't say worship in your, he did not say worship in your emotions. Come on, that little, listen up. We got way too many Christians living in their emotions. They may be great emotions, you know, I'm joy. But you know what happens when you walk out that door if you're just living on emotion and not truth? Nothing. Your life will not change. Nothing will be different in your life if you just come in here for a Sunday morning fix or come to a worship night like we're going to have in 3 or 4 weeks and just, oh, man, I feel good. I feel okay. Well, what are you doing about it? I mean, I'm just saying that's why Jesus said, no, the worshipers that God is looking for are going to worship him in spirit. Because why? God is spirit. We are spirit. That's how we are connecting with him. And in truth, you see, our emotions can lie to us. Anybody's emotions. Is there anybody in this room whose your emotions has not misled you at some time in your life? I expect no hands to go up because it's happened to us all. In fact, for many of us, it happens every single day. Sometimes a couple times an hour. Come on. I mean, come on. Can I get an amen on that? Come on, man. Our emotions. Yeah. That's why. Do you see why Jesus said it wasn't about the emotions? I want you to see what in John chapter 17, and some of you that know me, maybe I've said this before. John chapter 17 is one of the most beautiful chapters in all of Scripture to me personally, because it shows Jesus praying to God for us. Yeah, he was talking to his disciples at the time, but by definition, we're included in this prayer. So whenever you read John 17, you need to understand Jesus is praying for you. This is what Jesus prayed that day, part of it. John chapter 17, verses 17 and 18. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they may also be sanctified in what? Truth. Truth. Jesus prayed that we would be washed, we would be sanctified in truth, not washed away in our emotions. Truth. You see, your emotions, my emotions, although they are very real, do not always reveal the truth of the situation. And they can often lead us into places of dangerous thinking. Emotions, my friends, come and go. Let's be honest with you. I mean, again, I said within an hour, we can have different emotions within a minute. We can be happy, we can be sad, we can be fearful. Those things, you might have all four of those emotions in 5 minutes, depending on the day, depending on the situation. Emotions come and go. We cannot allow our emotions to dictate and control our thinking, because then that's going to lead to actions that we are sometimes not going to want to do, right? God's word, the truth, is always true and it never changes. See, that's why Jesus said, hold on to, wash them in the truth, Father, because the truth's never going to change. The truth is here. Jesus, I'm the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. His truth never changes. It's not based on emotion. It's based on truth. And that's why, my friends, if you and I are going to move from natural thinking to spiritual thinking, we need to be guided by what is really true and not just what we may be feeling in the moment. It's very important to developing a spiritual mindset. Let's look at, for instance, the fear of emotion. Wait, the emotion of fear. Let's try that again. Let's look at the emotion of fear. It's natural to be fearful sometimes, right? About some things. Fear is an emotion that definitely can come. But God's word says that we have not been given a spirit of fear. We may experience fear, but God didn't give us that spirit of fear, right? It says instead he's given us what? A sound mind to be able to do what it says in 2 Corinthians. That's where, okay, process this, take this baby prisoner. Is this, examine it, right? That's part of what the sound mind means, is your ability to think through that and not just, I'm fearful. No, think through that for a minute. Because what's true can be found in Isaiah chapter 41, where it says, we don't need to be fearful because God is with us and will hold us up with his very hand. is what it says in Isaiah 41. Psalm 27 says that God is our light in our salvation. So we don't need to fear anyone or anything. That's what Psalm 27 says. And in another psalm, it says, if God is with you, who have you to fear? If God is on your side, it says there is no man, no person that you ever have to fear. That beautiful part of 2 Corinthians says that actually that kind of thinking of the truth, what it does is it helps to demolish lies. It helps to actually demolish strongholds. Strongholds are things you believe. Strongholds are problems because if you're believing something that's not true, it grips your mind and affects your thinking. That's why we have to be able to think spiritually through things. What about anger? Anger is a powerful emotion, isn't it? Anybody here ever get angry? Yeah. Anger is a powerful emotion. The world says what? Yeah, man, you got a right to be angry. You were mistreated. You were this. Just pop off, man. Just write that letter. Just get on Facebook and send that email or send that post. Get on email. Blast somebody. If you're angry, just let it out. That's what the world says. Let it rip. But the truth, Psalm 37 tells us that you should restrain yourself and think about things before you respond, because anger, it says in Psalm 37, only leads to evil. That, my friends, is what spiritual thinking looks like. Proverbs 14 says that if you are slow to anger, then you have a great understanding of what it means to think spiritually. It's what it says in Proverbs 14 and Ephesians 4. We learn that it's okay to be angry sometimes. Just don't sin, right? Jesus got angry, but he didn't sin. When anger leads to sin, that's acting out of emotion and not spiritual thinking, right? So Ephesians says it's okay to get angry, just don't sin. And then it goes on to say, and don't let the anger keep festering though, right? Don't let the anger just keep building and building, and you got to deal with it, but you got to deal with it with spiritual thinking, not just letting it out. Come on now. What about money? Ooh, I better get quiet now. What about money? You know, we worry about money. We get all anxious about money. The world says, make as much money as you can and take care of yourself. Pretty much what worldly thinking on money is. You want to know the truth about money? The truth that Jesus said, the truth of the word about money. And by the way, Jesus talked about money more than 100 times in the Bible. Did you know that? Money was an important concept to Jesus, but he understood the truth about it. And he wants you and I to understand the truth about it. He said, the truth about money, Jesus said, is don't worry so much about what you think you need. Focus instead on building my kingdom. That's what he said in Matthew 6:33. He said, don't worry about... I know what you need. That's what Jesus said. Don't get so focused on what you think, by the way, what you think you need. There's a lot of things that you think you need that you don't need. Let's start with that. But he said, look, if you'll do that, if you'll build my kingdom first, that's your thinking, that's your spiritual thinking, I'll take care of those other things you think you need. You see, it's a whole role reversal about thinking about money. And check out what Jesus said just a few verses before that. In Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, he said this. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves can't break in and steal it. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Brandon, if you'll come. That, my friends, is what spiritual thinking looks like. The natural thinking about money says that money is for you and it's for you to live better. Jesus says it's a heart issue. The world wants to make money about how many zeros are in your bank account. Jesus says money is a tool in God's hand to help you create treasures in heaven. Did you ever think about that? That's the truth. the truth, the real deal about your money or your possessions is that they are simply a reflection of your heart towards God. That's the truth about money. Because you see, God in his word has provided everything for you. He's given you the ability to earn every dollar, every penny, every cent you've ever or will ever earn. God has given you that. All of it. Not some of it, all of it. And quite frankly, all of it belongs to him. That's the truth. God just says, hey, be generous with your heart and give back to build my kingdom. That's all Jesus said. Let me close today by asking you some questions to consider. Have you thought about what you think about? Have you considered why you think the way that you do? If not, or maybe it's been a while, let me challenge you to do that today. Ask yourself, do I have the mind of Christ? Have I taken the time to study him and his word so that I will know what he thinks and how he thinks? Because, my friends, that is the only way for you to know. Jesus reveals himself in his word and through prayer. So you cannot know what Jesus Okay, let's say this. We have too many people inventing a version of what they want Jesus to think. No. The only way to know what he really thinks, see, it's like that relationship you have with that person. No, you don't guess what they think. You know what they think because you've actually spent time with them. You've listened to them. You've watched them. You don't have to wonder, well, what do they think? No, if you know someone good enough, you spent time with them, you know what they think. It's the same with Jesus. And not only that, but I wouldn't invent, you know, if I knew how Terry thought about something, I wouldn't go invent something that was different than that, right? Like if I knew she liked X, I wouldn't go say, well, but she really should like Y, so that's how I think she thinks. No, you see, we try and do that with Jesus. No. Go learn how he thinks. If you want his mind, if you want the mind of Christ, you need to know how he thinks in his word and through the Holy Spirit in prayer. That's how you find out what Jesus thinks. Ask yourself, do you have the mind of Christ? Do you hold his thoughts, his plans, and his purposes close to your heart? As we leave here today, I pray that we're changed by the power of God's word. And let's be mindful of what we expose our eyes to and what we put into our ears, because what we see and what we hear matters. What we see, what we look at, what we hear will impact our ability to think from a spiritual perspective. And I challenge all of us, recognize your emotions as valuable to inform your thinking. But let the truth of God's word actually dictate and guide your thinking. As you do these things, as you experience these things with God, as you let the Holy Spirit change your thinking, form your thinking, guide your thinking, you will learn to think more like Jesus. And the more you think like Jesus, the more you will act like Jesus. Do you believe that today? All right, will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, we come before you now. God, we're so grateful for what you have taught us today through the power of your word. God, we want to have the mind of Christ. We want that so desperately in our lives. We want to be able to think like Jesus. And Heavenly Father, will you help us through the power of the Holy Spirit? Because that's the only way that can happen. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we're asking you to come in right now into our hearts, into our minds. Help us to think like Jesus. Help us to truly have the mind of Christ, because we cannot do it by ourselves. Father, help us to be mindful about what we look at. Help us to be mindful about what we listen to. And God, when those emotions come, because they will come, Help us to look beyond the emotion and look for the truth of your word as our guide. We love you, Father, and we worship you. God, change our hearts, and most of all today, God, change our minds so that they can be one with yours. In Jesus' mighty name, we say it and we believe it. Amen, amen, amen. Now, with every eye still closed and every head bowed, listen. What we learned today is that really the only way that we can experience spiritual thinking is through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe there's some people right now that the Holy Spirit is actually speaking to you. He's ministering to you right where you are in this place. So I want to pray, first of all, for those that maybe you know Jesus, but you're not thinking like him right now. You've let the world influence your thinking too much. That's okay. Jesus died for your sin so that you can, from this day forward, begin to think like he thinks. If that's you, if you've just let the world infiltrate your thinking, right now, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray that you receive the Holy Spirit. I pray that you lean into the Holy Spirit. I pray that you allow the Holy Spirit to show you how to take those thoughts captive and how to live the spiritual life and live with the spiritual mind that Jesus is calling us to live with. And then for some of you, I just got to be honest here. Maybe you don't know Jesus, that you have heard about him, but maybe you think, or maybe thought in the past, that he was folly. You know, that's what the Apostle Paul that wrote what we read, he used to think that. He used to think that Jesus was literally a joke. And he persecuted him. And then he encountered Jesus Christ for himself. And his life was never the same. And that's the next group of people. If maybe you don't know anything about Jesus, or he hasn't been a real part of your life, I believe the Holy Spirit is ministering to you right in this moment about the truth about who Jesus is. Jesus appeared to the Apostle Paul in a bright light on a road, but today he appears to us through the power of his Holy Spirit. And I believe that Holy Spirit is working in the hearts of some people in this room right now. You're ready to let that light in. You're ready to start your new life with Jesus. If that's you today, I want to invite you just to pray a simple prayer with me right now. And we say this all the time. It's important. It's not about the prayer. It's about what you believe. The word says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. So if that's you today, I want to invite you just to pray this simple prayer. And listen, if you prayed this prayer already and you believe in Jesus, I still want to invite you to pray it in support of someone that may be doing this for the very first time. And it's also a good reminder about what you signed up for. Pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for me. And I believe that you rose again. Today, I repent of my sins. Lord, wash me clean and make me new. I'm ready to start my new life in you. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen.